This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with Matt Williams, the award-winning morning show host on WAFB, coming up on 10 years in Baton Rouge. We'll talk with Matt Williams about what's going on in our community and in the world of media. And Ed Cullen of the Baton Rouge Advocate. Today's his final day on the job with the local newspaper. 41 years Ed Cullen's been writing for the Advocate, and Attic Salt had its last appearance in the Sunday paper last week. We'll talk with Ed Cullen about where he goes from here and about four decades of covering this city and beyond. And Brian Monroe, CNN political editor, he's coming to Baton Rouge, and we'll talk with him about his appearance here and about politics at large. All this, but now the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633 or 877-217-5757. In a bit, we'll hear from Ed Cullen, who's logging his last day with the Baton Rouge Advocate after 41 years. But in studios, a man about to celebrate his 10th anniversary as the top-rated morning show host at WAFB, Matt Williams. Good morning, Matt Williams.
This is nap time, Jim. What are we doing?
Oh, nap time.
Come on. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, your day starts officially at 4:30 in the morning,
sure,
on the air, but
right.
I don't imagine you wake up at like 4:15 and say, I got to get to the office.
No, it's about 3:45. I roll in about 4:15. They throw some water on me, and we do a little show. No,
it's clean up well.
No, it's one. Actually, officially, I get up at 12:55, and I'm to work about 1:40. But I got a producer who was there at midnight. So there's a lot of people putting in a lot of hours for what we do.
So you get up before 1 in the morning, and you have a family,
yep,
and I'm sure they like to spend some time with you. My guess is that you get by during the week without much sleep.
That's exactly right. There's not a lot of opportunity.
3 or 4 hours a night?
Yeah, probably about that. Probably averages up to 4, and I've been told that's fairly dangerous, but it is what it is right
now. Well, are you taking any pharmaceuticals to...
None that I can mention on air, Jim, I don't think. I don't know. I'm coming up on my 10th year. I may not make it. No, I'm not. Of course, no. It's just, it is what it is. You wake up, you get through it, and you move on to the next day. Everybody's got tough jobs.
Well, you love what you do, or
yeah,
you would not
absolutely
go through this. And,
yes,
and all the adulation you get, it only goes so far when you're tired.
Very true.
Have other responsibilities.
Very true.
But the morning show at times is number one in the nation as far as shares and ratings.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. We know we have some very loyal viewers out there, and it's, of course, our job never to betray that trust. Work hard for them every single day, keep pushing that envelope, and make sure that they're enjoying. And that's key. They're enjoying what they're seeing. This is not simply a newscast. This is a morning show. It's not just blood, smoke, and scandal. If we can make you smile, make you laugh, then that is very, very important as well.
And you, of course, do reporting in addition to this.
Yeah. I do myself. My partner up there, Lauren Westbrook, she does as well. We have what are called like franchise pieces, which are just kind of assigned to us. She does a lot of the money. You'll see her Money Monday stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm doing Crime Stoppers. So, we get out there as well.
Well, Matt is a man who's not from Louisiana, as we've noted before. He was born in Tulsa, spent a lot of time in many places around the country, and went to the University of...
Wyoming.
A cowboy.
Did you know that was a state way up there? It's like Canada.
Wyoming has a metro area.
Yes.
Has a state that is smaller than our metro area,
yes,
Baton Rouge.
There are more antelope up there than there are human beings by about tenfold.
But in sheer numbers, to give an idea of how popular Matt and his crew are on WAFB.
Don't call it my crew. I got to answer to Diane Deaton.
There you go. I think we all do. But,
yeah,
but at times, the audience approaches 100,000 viewers. And Morning Joe, a nationwide show, which is popular in this area with many, 400,000 viewers nationwide. So you're getting about one quarter the number of viewers as Morning Joe does, with options all over this great land of ours. So Morning Matt is pushing Morning Joe.
When you see numbers like that, you really do sometimes, all the time, have to take those things with a grain of salt. I mean, you know this, working in the business. If you look at those numbers and for 1 minute smile at them, then you're going to start falling down that hill. And we understand our importance, what our role is to people. And so it's fantastic. It's obviously we love it that people want to tune in and want to watch. But as soon as you start slacking, as soon as you start buying into your own press, well, it's all on a wheel. It'll come back around. Next thing you know, you're not there.
And as I've noted on this show in the past, if it were not for AFB, the numbers that WBRZ receives, those are respectable numbers
sure
in any other market.
Sure.
They have a high viewership as well, just not nearly as high as you. I guess at times it's a 2-to-1 advantage you have.
Depending on the shows that you're looking at, 2 to 3, depending on the shows, the timing, that kind of thing. But trust me, both sides of the street are trying very, very hard, very, very hard.
And there is distinct competition between the two entities.
There is no doubt. And, you know, that's the good thing about it. Why would you want to have a situation where there was no competition?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to push you other than everything that's just, you know, obviously you'd push yourself a little bit, but no, that competition, it better move you, and hopefully it moves everybody in this business to do a little bit better.
297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757 for Matt Williams, and we'll go to the phone lines in a few moments. And Matt is almost 10 years, July of 2003. He arrived in Baton Rouge, and he's been doing exceptional work ever since. Now, we've talked about the numbers that WAFB receives. That's heartening, but you got to have a product. And Governor Jindal, I see him on your show every now and then.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
He's one of the few journalists, local people, who is, well, that you have access to. The rest of us don't. How do you do it?
I don't. It's, you know, here's the thing. You know, back in the day, it was a phone call. It truly was a phone call. And we could get the governor on. It's a little bit more.
Just hold that thought.
Yes.
I remember a day when Bobby Jindal, when he was Congressman Jindal, and before that when he was running the higher education system in Louisiana, he would actually call me to be on the radio. But now,
exactly. You don't get those phone calls anymore?
I haven't gotten them in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're off the Christmas card list, Jim. But no, you're absolutely right. I think. Well, we're not gonna get him on the show today. You know where he is today. It's CPAC day, and so he's gonna be speaking out there with a bunch of other conservatives.
Right.
And he's making the rounds. He is still a big name in his party nationally. It's not just about being governor right now. It's about being part of a party.
And the Advocate commended him on his sense of humor.
Yes,
the other day. He had some good lines at the Gridiron Show, didn't he?
It's just the thing with him is you got to rewind the tape and listen to it again, slow it down, because you pull the string on our governor and he will go for miles. It's impressive. He is ridiculously smart. He's got so much up in that head of his, and when he opens his mouth, it all just starts to come out.
A lot of wind power there.
There is.
Keep going without
hook
a pause.
Hook him up to a generator. Let him go. it's a little more difficult to get the governor in house now.
297-5633, HB in Denham Springs. Good morning, HB. You're on the air with Matt Williams. Hi, HB.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Williams, Channel 9 holds a special place in my heart because at the age of 7 and 8 years old, I watched them build Channel 28
as
a young boy living in Beauregard Town. But my question is this. Over the many years that I've watched and followed Channel 28 to Channel 9, it seems like that we are watching more and more advertisement over the time for programming. Am I correct in that assessment, sir?
You mean commercials? I'm assuming you mean you mean commercials. That's the way that they pay the bills. We would like to think that the news department is not run by the marketing department, and it's not. I'll just put that out there. But of course, that's how they pay the bills these days. We try to spread it out through all of the mediums we have: online, mobile, TV, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say that is a far off statement. I think that's pretty accurate. There's a whole lot more commercial time this day.
All right. 297-5633, Inkster Show at WRKF.org works as well. Cy on North Street. Hi, Cy. You're on the air with Matt and yours truly.
Hello, Jim. Matt, I just wanted to tell you that my wife and I watch your program every morning that we have a TV on, and we like it very much. And as far as the comment about Governor Jindal being on your program, probably he comes because, you know, y'all are very objective. I mean, y'all are not partisan. Y'all are not snarly. And I think that that's one of the things that attracts the governor to be with y'all and other people also, because y'all just, y'all report things just as they are, not what your opinion is. I'm off here.
All right. Gotcha. That's Cy Greco, by the way, a very wise man. And
yeah,
he likes you, and he's probably got a good point about Governor Jindal. The governor does not like surprises, but
no,
but on the that. Other hand, you're a tough journalist. It's a little hard to move in for the kill, if you will, when you've got 2 minutes and you've got
exactly.
a guy who answers questions
exactly.
in 2 minute bursts.
Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. When the governor starts talking, there's a string that's been pulled on him, and it's there's no breath. There's no moment that where you can kind of get in there that doesn't look like you're interrupting. But being objectionable is, you know, you want to be objective and not objectionable. And that's very important. You don't have to come at everybody like a bulldog to get the job done.
Well, and following up on Cy's remarks, Carla asks about the your colleague, Street Beat, Greg
yeah,
Merriweather.
Sure. Yeah.
He's the one who asked the question
sure
about
did.
The sinkhole, and,
a few times.
And the governor swung into action when Street Beat moved in, didn't
well,
he?
It, you know what? When you go back and you watch that and you listen to it, and I have ad nauseum, and you know the back end of that is, look, you know, you can keep asking, I'll keep answering. But of course, he never did answer the question. But he finally figured out. I don't understand why the initial response isn't, you know what? We're getting all the information we're getting right now. It's not on our schedule to get down there. We need to put it on our schedule, and we're going to look into that. That should have been the first comment. It wasn't. It was beating around the bush trying to avoid the question. But now, yes, he is going to finally head down there. He's talked with some folks with Texas Brine. He's going to be talking about the buyouts. He's admitted it needs to happen sooner rather than later. So maybe this worked mm-hmm. out a little bit here, a little flame to the feet kind of thing.
Well, I think WAFB may be the modern-day counterpart to Walter Cronkite. Remember
Uh-oh.
Lyndon Johnson's remark
oh,
when Cronkite said the war was unwinnable in Vietnam? Oh, Johnson says if we lost Walter Cronkite, we've lost the country.
Exactly right.
And when Street Beat moved in for the kill, Bobby Jindal, our governor, said, you know, I maybe ought to take a closer look at that
maybe
sinkhole.
I should make a trip. I have a helicopter. I can probably get down there quick.
Yeah.
So,
Larry in Sherwood. Larry, you're on the air with Matt Williams. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I've been watching Channel 28 and Channel 9 since its inception. That you go back to Buckskin Bill and even Pop Winkle.
Oh, yes, so, yes, sir.
and my question is I enjoy the news program, but there's so many breaks for the weather. You have the first weather, the next weather. And
yeah.
Couldn't we have more news instead of all this weather?
let me tell you something. First of all, you're not going to cut Diane Deaton off. She will come after you. No, but I understand what you're saying. I absolutely understand what you're saying. It's a funny thing about research. You know what research tells us about morning shows? About the top 10 most important things for a morning show? You know what people want to know? The weather now, the weather later, the weather a little bit later on, and where the traffic is that's going to snarl them on their way to wherever they're going.
And you've got Johnny Ation on the traffic.
Exactly.
Beat.
Weather and traffic fill up about 6 or 7 of the top 10 reasons that people watch a morning show. But trust me, I get it. Diane sometimes gets tired of the 27 different weather hits she's got to do in the 2.5 hours.
Barry in Mid-City. Barry, good morning. You're on the air with Matt Williams.
Good morning. Thank you, Jim. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
I would like to hear you comment on what's happening between TV journalism and print journalism and the struggle of our newspapers, even here in River City.
It's difficult to watch. You know, I mean, obviously, I grew up, I had a paper in my hand. It's difficult to watch the struggles of print right now. It's just, you know, television's got it a little bit easier. TV's still a medium that people are drawn to, but the internet has killed magazines, and it is killing newspapers. That why would you, and back in the day, this of course was different. Why would you want to have a piece of paper in your hand looking at news that is 12 hours old instead of you turning on the TV or turning on the internet and it's instantaneous? And of course, that's what's killing it. When you have a paper like the Picayune going to not every single day, that should tell you right there.
All right. 297-5633, back after this timeout with Matt Williams. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. A few more minutes with Matt Williams, reporter and anchor, the man who's synonymous with the mornings in Baton Rouge with WAFB. And then Ed Cullen, who's spending his last day on the job at The Advocate, partially with us, 297-5633. Kelly on I-10. Kelly, good morning. You're on the air with Matt Williams.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Matt. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I just wanted to take a little bit of an exception to what you said, Matt, about magazine being taken over by the internet, and being involved with a couple of local magazines, they're doing better than ever. And local content is king, as you know.
Sure.
So as long as you've got that local content, people will always want to pick up a magazine and read their paper or drink their glass of wine, such as, you know, like they do with In Register and 225, for example.
Boy, I sure hope so. There's nothing I like more than to do exactly that. There's something just not comfortable, I'm sorry, about holding the iPad and flipping through screens. So I continue to hope that magazines and newspapers and books and print will have some kind of a place in our future.
Oh, absolutely. Just remember, your local content will always be king. They'll always want to know what's going on here.
You're right.
And that you can't churn from the internet.
All right. Thank you, Kelly Hurtado.
You got it.
Right. We know.
877-217-5757, wherever you may be, for Matt Williams, who also covers crime, and there's a lot to cover in Baton Rouge.
Unfortunately, yeah, there is. Actually, there was a triple shooting just last night. Put three men, young men, in the hospital. The police working a handful of scenes for that one right now. It's all over.
Well, you were on this show on that memorable day when there was the shooting in Beauregard Town, which took a young woman's life.
Yeah.
Left her daughter wounded.
Yeah, that was a horrible scene.
And we took notice of that, as we should. But should we take notice of every shooting like that, whether it's in Beauregard Town or in Scotlandville or in Gardeer?
I tell you what, we got emails and we got phone calls, but why are you paying so much attention to this one? Why aren't you paying attention to this one that happened up in Zion City? And you know what? They're right, to a point. That community rallied around that family, came out in force trying to figure out what happened. I've been on a number of Crime Stopper shoots where I'll go door to door knocking. I'll be, do you know anything about this? No, mm-hmm. no. And there's a lack of community involvement. Either it's fear, possibly, which I understand, or it's apathy. And that I can't put my head around. Just not wanting simply to get involved just because you don't want to. The lack of caring. And there's a lot of that right now. There's a lot of that right now. So some get more attention simply because the community demands more attention. It's not a media-driven thing. If the community demands it, then we're going to be a reflection of that, where sometimes all we are is a mirror of the community, and we will reflect what they want.
Well, you go to work a few yards from where the shooting in Beauregard
took place. Yeah, right down the street, yes.
It's the only place I've ever showed up for an interview where they're guards, but they have to be guards there, right?
And a big blue dumpster right where you come into the back door. That's fantastic. We spruced the place up just for you, Jim. Just for you. No, you need that, and we have one gentleman in particular who does so much for us in the morning. But, yeah, we obviously want our folks to feel safe, but you know what? You can't be too careful out there.
No,
certainly
gotta,
at that
you,
hour
you,
of the day.
You got to take precautions.
That's right.
No doubt about it, and
you do. We'll roll out the carpet for you next time. Big time. Right.
Well, you're doing
dumpster.
Some renovations at the station.
We are. Fantastic renovations.
Were you wearing a helmet on the
air? Yeah, well, they were working on the roof when we were trying to do a show, and shards of sharp death were falling from, 15 feet up. So, yeah, there may have been a moment where I put on a football helmet just to be safe.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it'll be new and improved.
It's going to be great over there.
But,
yeah.
But Channel 9 and WAFB, you can do great work without lavish surroundings.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I don't need the lavish surroundings.
As George Sells has said, he was, of course, the main anchor for many years on WAFB.
Yes, indeed.
Man never had an office, did he?
No, of course not. There's no office in there. It is a newsroom with just pods of desks and everybody seeing everybody, and no, that's the way it needs to be. I mean,
well,
he
liked it that way.
Yes, absolutely. And I'd say everybody does. Most people do. There's some people that actually do need to be cordoned off, and we're working on that. They're insane. But every newsroom has those folks. But no, that's the way it should be. I mean, seriously, you start putting up little cubicles and the ideas get, you know, you start throwing them around and they don't find their way to who they need to get to. So no, it's the way
but
it should be.
There is a little privacy matter, huh?
Yeah, when you're talking. No, you just duck down, you hide under the desk, you take a couple minutes to yourself.
But when you're talking to your wife about your kids, you don't want everybody in the newsroom to be hearing that, do you?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah, they know all my business. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. They don't know. No, you go out, maybe you go outside. Or if the boss sees you talking to, if he sees you not working, then he just puts the clamp down on that one anyway.
Well, we're glad you're celebrating 10 years.
Yeah, it's coming up. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't know. They haven't fired me yet.
You were 28 when you came here.
Is that right?
Which would make you 38, I
believe.
28 plus 10.
Why are you spilling my tea all over your radio right now?
Which means that Ed Cullen was writing for The Advocate before you were born.
Now, this man, exactly.
And I see Ed standing outside the door. Come on in, Ed. Have a seat on his last day at the Baton Rouge Advocate.
And now, this is impressive.
Two of my favorite journalists in this community. The veteran, the venerable, Ed Cullen, of course, is also synonymous with All Things Considered, starting in 2001. Good morning to you, Ed.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
You're a bit reticent, it seems. This is a big day for you.
Yeah, it is. But the month leading up to this day has been wonderful. People at the paper have gone out of their way to celebrate with me, and I feel mostly a sense of freedom. I don't feel sad. I don't regret my decision to retire. It feels good.
Well, the rumors are the paper's about to be sold.
Well, You are probably as up on the news of the sale as I am. So what do you hear?
I hear it's going to be sold, but that there's some division in the family about it.
By summer? That's the rest of the rumor. By summer, they always add at the end. By summer, whatever that means.
So did that have anything to do with you deciding to leave?
Not a thing. I had decided, not told anyone, but had decided to retire before all that started. I've not only been in the newspaper business for 40 years, I've worked at the same place for 40 years, and that's pretty much unheard of. My generation of reporter had usually worked on three or four papers by the time they hung it up. To work for one newspaper for that long is pretty unusual.
And for most of that time at one location on, what was it, 524 Convention?
525 Lafayette Street.
Well, that's right. That's right. 525 Lafayette. Street.
Now a giant hole
which
in
is
the
not,
ground.
Yeah, that's right. It does talk about a sinkhole. You've got one at 525 Lafayette.
Yeah, that is a strange feeling. I ride my bike downtown and ride past where 525 Lafayette Street used to be. And to see the place where you spent so many years not there, that is kind of odd feeling.
Yeah, I remember Frank Sinatra's song about Ebbets Field. There used to be a ballpark. There used to be a newspaper at 525 Lafayette. That's sad to see. Think of the walls could talk.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
But now you're in plush surroundings on Bluebonnet Boulevard. You're nodding.
Yeah. Well, what Matt said about it being good that you're in an open newsroom and there are no walls, that's the kind of newsroom I grew up in. And there was more privacy in that first newsroom. We faced each other, the back of each other's heads. We were all lined up in rows. And then there was the din of typewriters going, which mask these calls from your wife. Talk to Michael. I can't get him going on his homework tonight. Put him on. Michael, you know, do your homework. Of course, my son knows I'm at the newspaper, and I ain't even coming home.
Well, we were talking about safety. Ed has been known to ride his bicycle to work, and as you note, sometimes you leave the office late, show up early. You're riding in the dark.
I sometimes ride in the dark, but not to and from the Advocate. You know, people talk about parts of town that I ride in sometimes. They say, oh, it's really dangerous. There's shootings there. I feel perfectly safe in, let's say, the Carver Branch Library neighborhood, which I made my library. so I could have books sent there and pick up things. I go there on my bicycle. I feel much safer in those
on
neighborhoods.
Terrace Street.
Yeah.
I got that street right.
I feel much safer in those neighborhoods than on Perkins Road, certainly, for different reasons. But
well, you mentioned on this show that one time you were riding your bicycle, I think, down Highland Road, and you felt someone's hand on you.
Yeah. There's no shoulder on Highland Road. And I was going past those apartments that used to be called the Snowmass Apartments, maybe, a long time ago, just north of Lee Drive. And doing my best to stay on the road, not go in the deep ditch to my right. And a young woman, passenger in a car, leaned out of the window and patted me on the butt as they went by. And I really wasn't expecting
And it was a woman.
I've had stuff thrown at me, you know, on a bicycle. I've never been patted on the butt but that one time. It scared the daylights out of me.
297-5633 for Ed Cullen. Charles on Jefferson, or Charles in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Charles. You're with Ed Cullen.
Good morning. Yes, I'm not going to pat him on the butt, but I'll give him a pat on the back. Boy, Ed, you've come a long way from Alexandria and mowing yards.
I'm sitting here in a... Charles, I'm sitting here in an Alexandria Aces ball cap.
I remember the Aces, Texas League team, Double A.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to say congratulations, and I hope you have a great retirement as well.
Thanks, Charles. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm.
You grew up in Alexandria.
Yeah.
Served in Vietnam.
Yeah. Off the coast, yeah.
Yeah, but... You did your patriotic chore.
I did.
Unlike some prominent members of administrations.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the people who took a powder, the people of your generation? You were born in 1946, right?
Yeah.
Same year as Bill Clinton and George Bush.
Right. Oh, I think we've got a lot of unnecessary master's degrees out there.
A lot of PhDs,
too. And PhDs because of Vietnam. Oh, it doesn't bother me at all that people reacted however they reacted. It's a free country. I wish more people had a choice. The draft was going on then, and poor people, black people, didn't get the same mm-hmm. options as a lot of young white men did about avoiding the draft. But, I didn't go in for patriotic reasons. I had always wanted to go to sea, and if there hadn't been a war going on, I'd have probably joined the Merchant Marine and gotten it out of my system in a couple of years and then gone on with my life. But I joined the Navy really to go to sea, and I really went to sea. I went to sea around the world twice and 3 years on sea duty, so I got my wish.
Well, when you arrived at the Advocate reporting for duty in 1972... A guy named Edwin Edwards was governor.
Yeah.
And I guess Richard Nixon was president of the United States. Woody Dumas was mayor. A lot of things have changed since then, and certainly journalism has changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the big changes is access to those people. Woody Dumas would invite me and Paul Bartels and Don Buchanan and Barbara Kleinpeter into his office and throw us out just as fast, but we had access to him. It was pre-PIO. There was no PIO back then. There was no police PIO. You had to have good relations with the policemen, the detectives, to find out stuff. And you were their hero one day, and then the next day you'd put something in the paper they didn't like, and they wouldn't talk to you. And then couple days would go by, and then they'd start talking to you again. I liked it better that mm-hmm. way.
In those days, 1972, people were certainly smoking in newsrooms.
Oh, yeah. Me among them. By the end of the evening, there would be a layer of smoke coming down from the ceiling about 4 feet. You would look under the layer of smoke to see the city editor. Or he looking back at you. The newsroom was a very loud place. We monitored police radios with four different radios tuned to four frequencies, all of them blaring mm-hmm. at once, in addition to people yelling and the typewriters going, where I worked at Bluebonnet, it's so quiet. It's like an insurance office. It just no atmosphere, no atmosphere.
And what an irony that it's owned, the building is owned by a fellow named Jimmy Lee Swaggart.
Oh, yeah. Talk about. We were not always on the best of terms with the Reverend Swaggart. Well, yeah, wasn't.
Well, I've commented that it's been 25 years. In fact, February 21st was the anniversary of his I Have Sinned confession in the pulpit not far from where your office is at the Family Worship Center. And there was no recap of Jimmy Swaggart 25 years later from the newspaper. Was that by design?
25 years after?
After the fall, and he's back. He's in 104 countries right now. Right.
You mean we didn't observe the anniversary the way newspapers like to do?
Yeah, newspapers like to do that. Occasionally radio shows do.
Yeah. Well, I always love it when people accuse newspapers of orchestrated activity. There's nothing orchestrated about the newspaper business.
Well, you don't cover WAFB at The Advocate.
We don't cover?
No.
What do you mean?
I've never seen a feature on Matt Williams or Greg Merriweather.
We run their Power of Nine every year. We do.
All right. 297.
And I've never understood that. I mean, I'm a competitor too. I love competition. We used to look at Channel 2 as competition and Channel 2 and the State Times as competition.
Even though you're owned by the same people.
Yeah, but there was competition.
Well, sure.
And I'm happy Nine is there. It's good.
Diane downtown. Diane, you're on the air with Ed Cohen.
Good morning.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm good.
I just wanted to call and thank you, Ed, for everything that you have done for Baton Rouge Green in the past 25 years. I don't know what we're going to do without you.
Oh, you'll do fine. Keep planting trees, and remember to call the paper and Channel 9 at least a week ahead of time, Diane.
Well, I see Attic Salt is being replaced by At Random.
Yeah.
Danny Heitman.
Yeah.
That's a good choice, but he's got some big shoes to fill.
No, shoot. No, he doesn't.
Well, how many years have you been writing that column?
Well, so what? 40 years. He's a good writer. I guess our columns are similar, but you can certainly tell the difference. Though I'm often accused of things he's done, praised for things he's done. There's a little confusion in the public mind, but I always accept the compliments.
You have more hair than he does.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, we'll resume with Ed Cullen. 297-5633 today is his last day at The Advocate. I understand they're actually throwing a party for him. So
yeah.
2 o'clock?
Yeah.
If anybody wants to come?
Party planners, Inkster said that, not me.
All right, we'll be back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF. Kevin Gallagher is producing, and we'll spend a bit more time with Ed Cullen, 41 years covering just about everything in our community. And since 2001, his commentaries have appeared regularly on All Things Considered. Jeff on I-10. Good morning, Jeff. You're on the air with Ed Cullen.
Hey, Jeff.
Good morning. Good morning, Ed. Just wanted to call and thank you for all your great columns over the years. One that I'm particularly reminded of, you wrote that I was in about 32 years ago.
Wow.
And it was about the fire at the old sanitarium, was the name of a bar downtown. And I had painted something at the top of the sanitarium I had painted the whole building. I was just a kid. And anyway, you've written a column about it. It was really, really nice. I want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed through the years, phone calls, letters from readers. With the advent of email, I hear from a lot more readers because it's so easy to do. But it's the back and forth. There's no column without readers.
Now, about midway through your tenure with the newspaper, the afternoon paper shut down, State Times.
Yeah.
That was a sad day for journalism in this community.
Oh, it was very sad. I've never seen so many people on both sides of the newsroom crying that day. We said goodbye to a lot of our friends. Unlike retirement, I mean, in a way, this feels, you know, almost like a, I don't know, a death a little bit, except you know, going to your own funeral, but then you get to leave. I guess that's the difference between retirement party and your funeral.
At least we hope so.
Yeah. But, you know, as many people were laid off on the Advocate as were State Times when the State Times closed. Mm-hmm. And many of those people were not able to hang around. They had to leave town to go find other jobs. That was really a bad day.
Well, I think the Advocate is to be commended for furthering the reporting of Ed Cullen and his unique style. And we don't have many Ed Cullens around the country. Another example is Smiley Anders. He does something that might not work in other cities, but right. It's worked here for a long time.
You know, I think it would work in other cities. It takes the right person to do it, and Smiley is the right person. Art Adams is former city editor at The Advocate and Sunday editor. Art's responsible for Smiley's. I mean, Smiley was good at what he mm-hmm. did, but Art recommended Smiley for that position, and Smiley had been the business editor, and. Yeah, Smiley is very good for the newspaper.
And through the years, Carl Redman has been a reporter,
yep.
and now he's running the show over there.
Right.
And I don't know of anybody who's more of a champion for open access to
right.
records and holding public officials' feet to the fire than
right.
Carl Redman.
Right. And that's true. And before Carl, Linda Lightfoot whoever in the family was running the paper at the time would always complain to Linda about what her suing for access to public records cost the paper, because you don't it's expensive to sue people for public access. And we've kept a law firm going for many years doing that.
Well, and I think that's a big reason why there aren't many investigative units in journalism, particularly in broadcast journalism anymore, is because you almost inevitably you're going to be sued, and
right.
there's a hard cost, high cost of defending oneself, even
right.
when you're right.
Yeah, it is, and it takes a lot of time. We've had some good investigative reporters over the years who might work on a story for months, and you produce one story. But the main reason, I think, is what you say. It's lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started Porch Steps Baseball on All Things Considered in 2001, 12 years ago, and you've
yep.
talked about how that happened. A most unlikely way to end up being a national phenomenon, but Ed Cullen is known not only in Baton Rouge but throughout this country for his work with National Public Radio.
Now that was just a wonderful bit of serendipity. Could never have imagined that I would do anything for radio, let alone national radio. That was a good thing.
Who are some of the most memorable people you've worked with?
Well, there was Ken Dixon, who was editorial writer on The Advocate when I got there. Ken had been – Ken's dead, but Ken was in the AP Hall of Fame. He was one of the most famous AP writers to come out of World War II. You know, a lot of my favorite writers were just bread and butter reporters, very good at what they did. Nothing
mm-hmm.
really flashy about it. Bob Anderson is a wonderful reporter. Paul Bartels, who covered City Hall when I got there. Was a good reporter, Barbara Klein, Peter. The Advocate and the State Times have had good people through the years.
What about your days at LSU? Who made some big impressions on you as a student?
You know, my years at LSU were kind of a blur because I got out of the Navy. I was married. I needed to get through school fast and get to work. LSU accepted all of my credits from Northwestern, about a year and a half's worth. So I was only at LSU about 2 years.
Did you have Featherston? Did you have Jim Featherston?
Yeah, I did. I had Featherston.
And he later became a neighbor of yours.
He did. Featherston was a really good teacher. Most of his teaching took place outside of the classroom. And I can't imitate him.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't imitate him on the air because I can't talk like him because his language is a little salty. But he'd get us in his office, and he would set us straight on how things were going to be in the real world of journalism. And that was very helpful.
Glenn in Westminster, please be brief. Glenn, you're on with Ed Cullen.
Hello, Ed.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn Gilbo. How you doing, bud?
Hey, bud.
Man, I'm sorry to see you leave. I think you did some great work, and I enjoyed working with you there at The Advocate.
Well, Jim talking about some of my favorite reporters. You certainly are one, and I'm happy that you're still going.
And his wife works with you every
Michelle
day.
Michelle Milholland. Michelle went from being a general assignment reporter covering not state government to a really good Capitol reporter, covers the governor's office. They're a good duo, those two.
Ed, let me put you on the spot. What do you think will happen with the Advocate if John Georges does buy the paper?
I think who can say? But you know, if he came in wanting to put out a good paper, he's got the money. One or two things could happen. He could come in, he could spend the money, make it a better paper. Expand our coverage. I think certainly he would expand coverage in New Orleans, or he could come in and leave things the way they are. But as far as knowing or even having a good idea of what's going to happen, I don't know. I can't say whether the sale's going to happen or not.
Thanks. See you later today, bud.
All right. Bye bye. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Gilbo, who worked for The Advocate, now with Gannett. Fine sports writer, covers the LSU football Tigers. You've covered ball games, everything. Ed Cullen's been there. It's hard to find that kind of versatility.
Yeah, I think the versatility is there. I think the people are there who could do it. What's hard to find is a newspaper that will let people do the things that the Advocates let me do. There had never been a personal column. There'd never been a personal essay column at either the State Times or the Advocate. And I wanted to do a column, and my city editor, Jim LeCafney, he said, you don't have the time. And he was, I guess he was right in a way because he kept us all busy. But Charles Lindsay in Magazine let me do it, and that's how I started. And I went from there to the op-ed page. My column has changed over the years because I used to write a lot about the news and politics when I was on the op-ed page.
Well, we're glad you've shared your talents with us, Ed Cullen. It's been an honor.
You.
And
thank you.
Hopefully
being here.
You'll be involved in other things. I'm sure you will.
I think
and
I will.
And we'll be a guest on this show every
I
now
hope
and
so.
Then. And I did want to note that Carol writes that, about the WAFB and Advocate situation. She notes that two prominent members of both entities are married, Donna Britt and Mark Ballard.
That's
so,
right.
So there is some harmony between Channel 9 and the Advocate.
Yeah.
And talk about two talented people. That's
yep.
That's a talented family
yep.
with Donna, who's graced us with her talents for about 30 years, and Mark Ballard, who I read his column every Sunday, one of the best on Louisiana politics.
I agree.
And I'll miss you this Sunday.
Thank you.
Even though I like Danny Heitman. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
And 2 o'clock, Ed Cullen will be celebrating with now thousands of his favorite people. We're joined now by Johnny Brooks. You know him. Actually, it's that Johnny has made this interview possible with Brian Monroe. We thank Johnny, but Brian Monroe is the CNN political editor, and he is coming this way, editor of CNNpolitics.com, a Nieman Fellow, former editor and news executive with Knight Ridder, and former vice president and editorial director of Ebony and Jet magazines, and a former president of the National Association of Black Journalists. He'll be in Baton Rouge Monday night, keynote speaker at a forum on diversity in media at the Baton Rouge Community College. Good morning to you, Brian Monroe.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to talk with you, Brian. And when we talk about diversity in media, for example, Louisiana has 30% African-American population, but 30% of the journalists certainly aren't African-American. What can we do to improve that statistic?
Well, you know, fundamentally, and this has been an ongoing conversation, but fundamentally it is an expression of both great journalism and great business to have a diverse staff that reflects the community that you live in. And so, you know, in Louisiana, which I'm so excited to get to on Monday and have some of that crawfish and get back to Baton Rouge. It's been a while. You know, in Louisiana, if you look at the newspapers there, the television stations, the radio stations, do you see your community on air? Do you see your community writing the stories? Do you see your community, most importantly, in those positions of decision-making power who make the call on what goes in the media? And that's where it has to happen.
Well, it is something that's a long time coming. And, for example, in sports, most of the athletes now that are prominent are African-American, but in Baton Rouge, for example, there are very few African-Americans covering the games that people play. Why is that the case?
Well, you know, that is unfortunately, Baton Rouge in Louisiana is not an outlier there. It's true across the country, and particularly in sports coverage. You know, the reason is tradition. It is comfort level. Those who do the hiring tend to hire folks they know, they're most comfortable around, that they have the best networking connection with. You know, at the National Association of Black Journalists, which is the largest journalism organization of color in the country, you know, we have thousands of journalists, many who do cover sports, who cover news, photographers, producers, and create a pipeline so that, you know, a newspaper in Louisiana or a television station in Mississippi, if they're looking for someone who's not just qualified but excellent to cover their topic, you know, they could go to any of these organizations. But most importantly, it's not just about, you know, kind of the kumbaya, do the right thing because it's the right thing. But, you know, it's ultimately about what we give to our readers, listeners, and viewers. We have to give them an accurate picture of the world they live in, of the communities they live in. And one of the best ways is to make sure the people who are making those calls, who are covering those stories, come from that community and come from it in a way that reflects the diversity of it.
Now, at the same time, there probably are not as many people in journalism schools, for example, of color, reflective of the population. So if people of color, minorities, if they're not getting the requisite training to be journalists, then how can these media entities provide jobs without a pool of candidates that are capable of doing the job?
Well, that's very true. You know, I used to be a professor at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, where we were very direct and conscious about making sure the pool of students in the classes and also those applying were as diverse and representative of the Illinois and the national population as possible. But the pipeline, you know, you've got Southern there, you've got Grambling, you've got LSU. Jerry Seppos is the dean at the Manship School. You know, he is one of the most committed journalists that I know when it comes to making sure the student population and professional population reflects the community. At the end of the day, it takes individual commitment, corporate commitment, and educational commitment to make it happen. It's not just lip service.
Right.
It's all about the results.
Last week in the Daily Reveille, the LSU student newspaper, there was a story that indicated that there are only 52 African-American professors on the LSU campus. There are more African-Americans on the football team than there are on the entire campus as professors. With that as the case, are students getting a true reflection of what society is really like?
Yeah, I think that is an issue and a problem, particularly in Louisiana, which is, you know, has some of the most amazing minds in education in the country. And I know, I just know that there are more than 52 strong, qualified professors available that the LSU can draw from. I know that for a fact. So, again, it takes a specific commitment to make it happen.
Well, Brian Monroe is going to be at the Baton Rouge Community College Monday night, 7 o'clock, Diversity in Media. He's the keynote speaker, and he is a man who has a long career of success, including a 2006 Pulitzer Prize. Thank you, Brian, and we'll see you Monday.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.